Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Last summer, the nation was left in shock following the rally, riots, and deadly violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. We were forced to face a brutal reality. Hate and bigotry, long simmering in the shadows, had erupted into the mainstream. Bias incidents have become a daily reality. Hate crimes targeting the nation's most vulnerable communities are commonplace. A hate crime is defined by the FBI as a criminal offense motivated by an offender's bias against a group of people. The First Amendment identifies the fundamental rights that Americans are entitled to: freedom of speech, religion, press, peaceful assembly, and the right to petition the government. Joining me here in the studio, I welcome four dynamic students from Florida High: Victoria Garcia. Victoria's a junior, and she's into cheerleading and cooking.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Ruby Castro, she's a senior. She'll be leaving us. Hopefully, she's going into the medical field, and she wants to attend FSU. SGA, dance marathon, and soccer are her things.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
Landon Allstock, he's also a senior, so he'll be leaving. He's into music and SGA and theater and hopes to attend UNF.
Hello, I'm super excited about today.
Always glad to have you. And Aishwarya Warren, I got you another year. She's a junior at Florida High, math, science, and I can't read this.
Anything related to it.
Anything related to it. She enjoys all of that, and I welcome you.
Great to be here.
Glad to have you all. The Southern Poverty Law Center has documented an explosive rise in the number of hate groups since the year 2000, driven largely by anger over our country's changing demographics. Since 2014, the number of hate groups have grown by 17%. The FBI says a hate group is one that promotes animosity, hostility, and malice against persons belonging to a different race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, or ethnicity or national origin. These groups include things like the KKK, Ku Klux Klan, and neo-Nazi and white supremacist organizations that promote hatred of blacks, Jews, immigrants, and others. Why do you think we are seeing this increase in hate groups across the nation? And I can just start with whomever and we'll go wherever.
Well, I personally think that it's an issue of people not wanting change and diversity. And a lot of, like, conservative views, like, want to keep America and just, like, everything in general the same as it always has been and stick to their, like, morals per se. But yeah, I think it's just an issue of people not wanting diversity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also think it's an issue of just not being educated. I know a lot of people believe that, specifically the ones who don't support immigrants coming here illegally or legally, it's because mm-hmm. they feel that it's possible to become naturalized as easily as they think, and it's really not. It's just a matter of being educated about what you're actually talking about.
Okay.
Personally, I believe that the reason we're seeing this rise in hate crimes, specifically towards minorities, it could definitely be the part of the reason could definitely be like the election of Trump. I feel like after his election and him coming into office, there definitely was a rise in hate crimes.
Right.
And you can statistically see that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's setting this kind of atmosphere where people believe that it's okay to do this stuff, and they're kind of, like, he's enabling them to do that in a sense. Like, they feel that he's enabling them to.
He's He's validating it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that regardless of what your political ideology is, it doesn't matter. But he sets an environment and an atmosphere that is based on, it seems to be based on hate, like you're saying, and ignorance. Yes, ma'am.
Inherently don't understand differing perspectives, differing backgrounds, differing ethnicities, mm-hmm. minorities, stuff like that. And this administration is really a big part of that, because up until in the middle of the 1990s, the Democrats were in charge of basically the three branches of government. And then 1990s hit and everything kind of switched for a difference, because what had happened was the parties were usually compromising on issues. They were usually giving and taking. They were having at least some of their opinions shown. But what happened in the 90s was so he came in and he was like, don't give them any ground. Don't back down. Let them stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let them stay where they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And it really made it so that there was a great divide in the country. And that has only increased in this current administration. And it's shown in the amount of people who follow this administration and follow the lack of diversity occurring, not to mention the fact that the administration supporters are predominantly white, predominantly male, stuff like that. And that's not a bad thing. The problem comes into account. The problem comes in where they are not open to discussing the perspectives and the needs of minorities and other groups that are not represented by them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you just need to take into account the two-party system and the fact that it has changed. And I don't know if it's for better or for worse, but for right now, it seems like for worse in the country.
I see you all nodding your heads. Comments, share, yeah.
Oh, well, I was just going to, I don't know if you've seen the Nike commercial.
With Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah. I was just like, that's just been going through my head as we're speaking, because I know a lot of people were burning their Nike gear. And it was really ridiculous, because when I saw the commercial,
stock went up.
Yeah, the stock went up.
The stock went up and they were,
Because people had already bought the stuff and like they were burning it. So like you spent your money anyhow. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't understand. But anyways, I just like when I saw the commercial, it looked more like a celebration of humanity more than anything.
Diversity.
And diversity and like people following through like in what they believe in. And it just like, speaking of Trump, like I know he was tweeting things saying like, once you stand for the flag, like maybe like Nike will like do this. And it just didn't make sense to me, because it didn't seem like people were being disrespectful towards the American flag. It was more of a celebration of humanity.
And let me just throw this out there. And I thought about this. We're talking about them kneeling. Mm-hmm. And if you think about kneeling, it really is not anything disrespectful about kneeling.
No.
I mean, you know.
You kneel at church.
Yeah.
I genuflect before I entered the altar. I really didn't understand.
And
Colin Kaepernick went through the whole process of confirming with one of his teammates who had previously served, hey, how's the most respectful way to do this? Mm-hmm. How do I bring attention to my issue while also being respectful to the troops, to the flag? And they agreed on kneeling because of how it shows respect while also giving a point, you know? And he was protesting during Obama's administration.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick was protesting for a long time. It just came to attention in Trump's administration because
he made it an issue.
Yeah, which is interesting, because honestly, Kaepernick had so much more media on him and supporting him as a result of the attention brought on him. So it's a double-edged sword what Trump's been doing for his administration and for his followers, and it'll just sort itself out, hopefully.
I'd also like to add, bringing it back to the Nike situation, I think it's really ridiculous that people validate what they're doing by like burning the stuff when the whole purpose is like standing up for the military. When like you could, I saw something where like people were saying that you should like donate this stuff to like homeless veterans or something. Mm-hmm. Like, if you truly believe in that, like there's statistically like so many veterans are like homeless now and going through so much and like
many poverty
mm-hmm. and like you could definitely help them. But instead, like you're trying to make a political statement that isn't even doing anything. Like it's not even like impacting it. Like, right. And also, I forgot what I was going to say.
It'll come back. Yeah. And I think we've kind of addressed this because I was going to ask exactly what role do you think the presidential campaign played in the increase of these hate crimes? And because what we're talking about is, what we're talking about is intolerance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, that's another way of kind of looking at it. It's about intolerance of any one or group or individual, whatever, that is different from you or who opposes your viewpoint. So it's got to be my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems to be the general attitude or trend that we're hearing now. And I wanted you to at least respond to that and how you felt about that.
Well, I know with like immigration and all, I feel like it's always been, because the issue is population. Like, it's always mm-hmm. been a population issue, and like that's recognized. And I do think it's a problem. Like, yes, we have way too many people in the country, but like we also have the resources to provide for those people. Mm-hmm. But I understand that he's trying to fix a like problem, but I don't think he's taking it like he's trying to do it in the right way at all, because I think that there are so many different ways he could go about this, but instead he's saying, like, no, we need to, like, build a wall. Like, we need to get them out. We need to keep them out. Like, and he acts like people can't, like, find ways to get
And that's not an answer.
This
I mean, that's like, what I was going to say. Is that real? Yeah, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
My thing is if someone really wants to come to this country, even though there's a wall between us and them, they are going to get through.
I mean, right.
It doesn't matter what's in your way. And the thing is he's not doing it because he wants to get rid of a problem. He's doing it because he doesn't like the people who are here.
Right.
He's not
exactly.
doing it for the right reasons. If he was doing it to stop crimes, like, of those people who do come here and commit mm-hmm. crimes, that's one thing. But he's doing it because he doesn't like a certain people. Right.
And the wall just doesn't make sense anyway, because most illegal immigrants come in legally on visas that they overstay, and they fly in. They don't cross the border by...
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, I'm talking with students from Florida High. We are looking at hate crimes. We're going to take a break, but we'll return shortly. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This hour, I have students from Florida High, and we are talking about the recent increase in hate crimes. My next question was, do you think, and I think I know the answer, but do you feel like the comments that were espoused during the last campaign, 2016 campaign, contributed or added fuel to what we are seeing now?
I think we all can agree that yes, yeah. Like definitely.
It definitely did.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to compare our president to like Hitler, but like come on, let's be honest. Like Hitler did not have the right like ideals, but mm-hmm. it's just the way that he spoke to people, and he was such a good public speaker that people were willing to follow him no matter mm-hmm. what. Like, come on, like who's gonna We are not going to think that it's okay to, like, do some things that are morally, like, unjust. But, for example, we're kicking human beings that don't have the means to live somewhere else that are trying to provide, like, for their families to
We're
come
breaking,
over
excuse
here.
Me, excuse me, Ruby, but for interrupting, we're separating families.
Exactly,
can you
yes.
imagine taking babies out mm-hmm. of their parents'
yes.
arms?
And you know what? He realized he was wrong because he took it back, and they're all getting put back to their parents because he realized that was wrong.
But
the
do you know
place.
How many are still in detention centers? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention I mean, the ones thousands. That are going to stay separated because yeah.
they're
they
still
have
separated.
They can't find.
And they
and
can't find them.
Some of them have been sick or died yep. because they were in those
mm-hmm. cages.
And then they yeah. can't. Some of them, the parents have already been deported. Mm-hmm. If you're 3 or 2, how are you going to communicate? They have no way. They don't have any statistics, or put it this way. Their information is very limited mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. these children. How do they contact the parents that have been
they
deported?
Don't.
So what
That's
happens to the
simple but, truth?
I know, you're right. I mean, so what do we do?
Within this current administration, the president said that the reason why people were being separated, families were being separated, children were being separated from the parents, was because it was the Democrats. It was the Democrats' fault. And he said...
Well, it's always the Democrats' fault.
Exactly. And there's such a lack of taking ownership of what occurred.
The Democrats don't control anything.
They don't control anything. Yeah, they don't have the power to do anything. The Democrats right. actually currently had a bill trying to reverse the separation, and it was not getting signed by Republicans. And it was crazy to me because everyone is saying, hey, this is morally wrong. We're denouncing this. We do not support this. We think this is horrible. And yet nothing was done, you know? I mean, yes, they're starting to try and reunite their families. They're trying to find the parents. But they've done so much.
A little late.
They kept children
There's
in cages.
There's too much damage.
Yeah. Right.
And even those networks that say that the cages were, like, humane, they had all these games, they were
learning.
They were
cages.
They were,
obviously,
regardless,
they
even
and
if
they
you
were
don't
separated
believe,
from
exactly.
Parents.
They were still separated from their family. Like
in a foreign country, people don't speak your language. I mean, even if they did have those who were able, you know, you're separated from your parents. You're 3 years old or younger. It's
ridiculous.
It's, yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to compare him to Hitler, but he's a good public speaker and people are willing to follow him no matter what he says.
I think it's crazy how people turn something, in a sense, so pure, like trying to just provide for your family in a situation mm-hmm. where you can and provide them a better life. And like, they're turning it into such a disgusting thing, like kind of turning them into like the perpetrators in the situation, like they're the ones who are wrong right. and like turning them and making themselves the victims when they're the ones like treating them so horribly.
And the only people that really belong here are the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we're going to really identify, so they're the only ones. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand this. I mean, America is based on diversity and immigrants.
The ideal that people want to come here for a better life, right. and then we're not allowing other people to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, xenophobia refers to the dislike or the fear of the unknown or something that is different from you. It's not only an aversion to the person, but it is a fear or a dislike of cultures and beliefs. Okay. In short, usually when you say xenophobia, you're just talking about the fear of others, something different than you. The complexion of the United States is changing. Hues are no longer just white, okay? Over 7 million Americans have identified themselves as more than one race. Do you think, or what role do you think this plays in all that's going on?
Well, people who consider themselves to be other than white, mm-hmm. right? Minorities, other such things, mm-hmm. they're going to have different perspective different. On life. And they're going to bring that to the American table. And that is going to allow America to evolve as a country because we personally describe ourselves as a melting pot, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so what are we if we do not allow that opinion to be expressed?
Yeah. You're right, but we're not there.
Yeah, and I was also going to say, like, I know back whenever, like, there were, like, slaves and stuff, and, like, mm-hmm. once that whole situation was getting, like, situated, and then they allowed, like, black and white marriages were legalized, mm-hmm. and then they would have children, like, the black family was like, no, like the black side of the family or the African-American side of the family was like, no, like we don't want to deal with them. And then the Caucasian or white side of the family.
Oh, I know what you're referring to. Yeah, like, they felt like
out of place. They couldn't connect
either way.
And I feel like now that there's like, we're trying to like integrate into that diversity. Mm-hmm. There's more people trying to stand up for, hey, like we need to not exclude people, like we need to come together, like it's about coming together, and we're like America, like we're supposed to stand for like something, and we just don't as a whole.
Do you think that, and this is to all of you, that xenophobia is the driving force today with society?
I think so.
And ignorance. I mean, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah, you're right. I have written that down.
I just think people would typically with their traditional values mm-hmm. find it like they're taught that it's acceptable to act a certain way. And in a way, they're like victim to society also because they're being taught that that's OK. And like they don't know any better. Or maybe they do, but they're taught that it's OK to think that way. It's like they're not going to try to inform themselves.
You are, to a degree, a big degree, a large degree, a product of your environment. Mm-hmm. So if your environment espouses hate and teaches intolerance, it will be, I won't say you can't get out of that mindset, but it will be more difficult. Because if that is reinforced in everything that you mm-hmm. do, it's hard to break the mold.
Yeah, well, I'm not gonna like disagree with Landon, but there are some things that are just out of like society as a whole's control. Because mm-hmm. I know parents will teach their children what they were taught, and
right.
I think that that's a major like factor that people aren't realizing. Because yeah, you can go to school, you can learn about diversity, you can learn about how things should work or how things should be in society, but you're ultimately, who you are is like what your family has taught you and what you're raised to be. Mm-hmm. Usually that's mm-hmm. the trend.
That's true, because family has a major influence on your beliefs mm-hmm. and your ideals. You're nodding your head. Add to it. They can't see you.
most of the time, I feel like just going off of Ruby is most of the time, like most of the things that you learn at home, you're going to put into what you do every day. Mm-hmm. And even Indeed. Though you may not mean to express your personal beliefs outside of your home, it can be expressed in just like the way you act towards a certain person or a certain race. And it may not be intentional, and you may not think that you're being as like what you're portraying on the outside. But parents need to realize that you can tell your kid what you want, but if they want to believe something else or if they think something else different than you, that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything needs to be, you know, my way or the highway. Like, your parents can't tell you that believing one thing is how it's always going to be, because the world's not like that anymore. Like, there aren't slaves. You can't think in your head, oh, they're something and they're not. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that if your child believes one thing, that you have to go along with that, because that's just how life is.
Comment.
Well, I would like to say that the United States has a history of xenophobia within its entirety. And it's not by itself. A lot of countries have that, and that's fine. We just need to make sure that we understand what it is and how to limit ourselves to it. Because I don't think, at least currently, that we're ever going to fully rid ourselves of it. Because there are always going to be people who think one way and are never going to change their mind. And that's okay. We just need to educate the population as a whole that other is not bad, that different is not bad, that minorities are there to help and to aid your country and to become United States residents and citizens and people who consider themselves of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, immigrants that come here are not coming to ruin your life. They're coming for a better life for themselves. They want to be here. They want to work here. They want to live here, you know? And the fact that people don't seem to realize that they're just like you and a different color or from a different culture or from a different religion or from a different ethnicity. It just, it kind of like blows my mind a little bit because we're people and we have ultimately the same goal, which is to be satisfied with our lives, to find the most amount of happiness within our lives that we can. And the United States should provide that for people. You know, it was built on providing that for people. People came to the United States fleeing persecution, fleeing religious persecution, and they continue to do that, you know? And it's very interesting to see how the climate has developed, at least the political climate, with the administration allowing for more people to speak their minds in different ways. I mean, mm-hmm. there are people from conservative standpoints that talk about, hey, this is why we need to limit immigration. This is why we need to provide jobs for people in the United States. We need to allow our people. We need America first, right? That was mm-hmm. like Trump's catchphrase, one of his right. big catchphrases, which I am not opposed to. America needs to look out for itself. That mm-hmm. is something that George Washington was for, you know, neutrality in foreign conflicts. You know, you need to look out for yourself first. I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I'm just saying while we look out for ourselves first, we need to also make sure that we are following a moral compass and making sure that we are benefiting humanity as a whole, because at the end of the day, we all have something in common.
And I think with that, like, there's this huge misunderstanding that, like, if we disagree with, like, Trump's policies and, like, what he wants to instill, like, we're kind of against America in a sense. Like, people begin to think that. And I just want to say that, like, I feel like we think these things because we love America and we want it to be the best it possibly can. And we don't want people to think that, like, we're hateful and, like, we believe that's okay. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like that's a huge miscommunication where people feel that. Yeah.
But his comments have reinforced those. And that's why. And they feel like they have a right to come out mm-hmm. and be vocal. I mean, I don't know that they have a right to come out and kill, you know? I mean,
nobody has
the right to kill. But that's what's happening, you know? And just for our listening audience, I mean, three of you are people of color, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no way you will not be passing. You know what I mean? You know? So how does that impact you? I mean, it's black and brown, and if you're a Muslim, and if you're gay, if you're disabled, I mean, and even if you're educated, maybe your father wasn't educated, and because you had a father that wasn't educated, I don't want to deal with you. I mean, crazy stuff, you know? So I'm just like, how do you respond to that kind of thing?
Well, piggybacking off of what Aishwarya said, she was saying that, like, we have a lot of, like, fear of diversity. And I think that's so much of that comes from the fact that we are diverse and other countries aren't really as diverse as we are. And so I guess they're kind of, like, curious to see what diversity is like, and so they're more open to it than we are. But, like, at the same time, we're just, like, we're so diverse that some people are just like, no, I don't like this. Like, I don't, like, we need to stop this. And
well, you know, I wonder, excuse me for interrupting you, but I think about, what is it, they say 2042? Mm-hmm. In 2042, everybody's going to be, you know, they're going to be more...
White people will be a minority.
In a minority, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something... I mean,
A minority,
folks aren't happy.
Like a minority compared to all other minorities?
No,
In the United States.
It's just not going to be above 50%.
Mm-mm. Okay.
In the United States.
Because I was wondering who was going to be the predominant.
Yeah.
Well, not 50%, actually. Because
would they still be the predominant?
No.
No, they wouldn't be the predominant in...
No, 2042.
Who would be? Do we know?
No, it'd probably be a mix.
It's
of
a
something.
Mix. Yeah, that's what they're looking at. If you, it's either white and non-white.
Yeah, that's what's current, what,
right? Right. Yeah. Right.
But to me, it's just crazy because going back to what Aishwarya said, I know she was talking about people trying to come here for a better life and such, but let's be honest, the people that are here are not trying to do these jobs that people from other countries are so willing to do. Like,
that's
we're
true.
Over here paying people less than minimum wage, giving them dollars poor conditions to work in for picking our food, which is so, like, it's such a labor for, like, it's so labor intensive and nobody wants to do it, but they are so willing to do it. And I know that that's just, like, a big part of our country, and I know that a lot of that is like getting paid under the table and stuff, but either way, like, they're providing such a service to our country, and that's not getting recognized at all.
And economically it helps us a lot too, because that's a lot of like how we get our money, like food and stuff, like that's how
that just goes back to people being educated about what they're talking about. If you're gonna say you don't like immigrants or you don't like this sort of people, you need to know what they do when they come here. If they come here and are doing something to actually help the economy, help the country, that's one thing. But if, like, if you don't know what you're talking about, how can you even say anything?
They're not, like,
and,
coming.
Well, you know, and from my perspective, you don't have to like me.
Yeah.
I, that doesn't matter. It's more about equality. As far as education and housing and those kinds of things. You don't have to give me. I'll get my own. But I need to have the opportunity, you know, a fair opportunity just like everybody else does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, so I think those are aspects of it, you know, that we haven't even touched on. And we're running out of time. Well, we got one more. You know, we need to talk about, I want to get back to these hate crimes and why they are increasing, and talk about this invisible hate. There's an invisible hate crime that has occurred that's been awful. We'll talk about it. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm talking with students from Florida High. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
According to the SPLC, there are 917 active hate groups in the United States, 130 in the Northeast, 421 in the South, 188 in the Midwest, and 178 in the West. NBC News reports U.S. hate crimes are up 20% in 2016, and that this was fueled by the election campaign. Okay? We haven't talked about, as I mentioned, the invisible hate crime. I'm thinking about the savage murder of a young woman. This happened, it was a young woman with disabilities, and it happened in Pennsylvania. And this is another type of hate crime that is sadly underreported, okay? It's underinvestigated, and it's underprosecuted. So this is another example of a hate crime, and it was a hate crime for an individual that President Trump ridiculed during his campaign, the disabled. So that's another. And when you get to a point where you're ridiculed and disabled, even that's like at the pits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I can see black, brown, you know.
Psychotic. Like,
but the disabled?
Like, in some situations, they can't even defend themselves.
They
so.
Can't do anything about that. It's not their fault.
Well, black folks can't help their black. You can't help your brown. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
But what they, I feel like
we have more of a say, like, it depends also on what kind of disability you're talking about, because, like, physical disability, like, I feel like you can just, like, you know, like, redeem yourself, kind of, like, okay, I don't have an arm, but I can do everything you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, but if it's, like, a mental disability, I feel like that's just ridiculous, because, let's be honest, they really can't defend themselves entirely, and they want to have a voice, but it's like they're getting diminished.
They can contribute valuably to society. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my point. Doesn't matter. You know, different strokes for different folks. The different things that you can do and that are your forte. Some of those things you may not always be strong in. But everybody's got a different thing. So I don't know. Let's talk about the First Amendment. We need to talk about that. The First Amendment identifies the fundamental rights that Americans are entitled to: freedom of speech, religion, press, peaceful assembly, and the right to petition the government. What are the limits of freedom of speech, and how much intolerance should society accept in trying to accommodate free speech? Can free speech go too far? So I'm just throwing it out there, you know, just thinking of all the issues there. I mean, when you say free speech, what does that mean to you? When I say freedom of speech, what do you think?
So to begin with, free speech is already limited by you're not able to use it like as it's not like you can't use it for hate speech. Like
exactly. You raised some good
points. It's really
point.
Illegal. Like it's supposed to be used towards the government and like criticizing the government and like speaking about political issues.
Let me interject here because I can tell you freedom of speech does not include. You're not to incite actions that would cause harm to others, yelling or in fire, make or distribute obscene material, burn draft cards as anti-war response, print articles in a school newspaper over objections of the administration there, make obscene speeches, you can't do that, advocate illegal drugs. So, you know, that's what we're talking about, basically, when you're talking about freedom of speech. So, the question is, where does freedom of speech begin and where it ends? And what about the subject that you're talking about?
Okay. Well, I personally think that if it's like you're trying to achieve I feel like there's a really thin line between like hate speech and like you wanting change for something.
Or are you just voicing your opinion?
Yeah, because you can say like, I don't want immigration, but some people will say, I don't want immigration because I don't like blah, 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 blah. And, but some people, if you go out and say, I think that we should like have these immigration policies put in place because of our population, because maybe they, you know, like maybe they're doing something with our economy or maybe they're doing something.
So it's like, it's what you say and how you say it.
It speaks on levels. If someone were to come to you with an actual concern and they were respectful about it, rather than someone coming to you sounding very belligerent and not caring about your feelings, like very obviously you're going to be more willing to listen to the person who's respectful, even if their views do contradict what you personally believe. It's just about how you say it. And like, you just need to understand that at the end of the day, like, people are people, and like, if people, someone's doing something that does not physically harm you in any way or like emotionally, just let them do it. Like, let people live. As long as you aren't harming anyone or like they're not harming you, I don't think it's that serious. And like, people love to just put their nose in other people's business.
Well, I mean, also, like, when you're trying to like make these speeches and stuff, or like you have this freedom of speech, like, yeah, you're saying, let people like get out of people's business and stuff, but at the same time, isn't that why you're doing the speeches? So to be in other people's business, to bring awareness of a certain situation. So like, I also think that's like not really like okay to say like, oh, like people just need to get out of people's business, because I think that that's what like no, you're really trying to do is get in people's business, say like, hey, like this is a problem and we need to try to fix it. We need like more people to support this idea, and like, yeah, if you don't believe in it, it's okay. You can
that's your choice.
Say I don't believe in it. Okay. But have a crucial conversation. I think that the speeches are more of crucial conversations than anything, because you can come up to somebody and say, I don't like you and I just, you know, like cuss them out and stuff. But then you can also have a crucial conversation and say like, hey, like, you know, this happened, but I want to know, like, why.
Let's talk about
it. Like, let's talk about it. Like, why? Like, you want to know the why, the hows, the what's. And I just think that when you're giving a hate speech, you're just saying this is this and that's final. Mm-hmm. And I don't like this.
That is the defining feature, like not being willing to listen to the other side and kind of just finalizing. And that's ignorance, like blatantly, not being willing to like hear others' opinions. And you're just thinking that yours is like the end all and it's what's right.
That goes back to what you were saying earlier, just about the political parties and not willing, being willing to.
No compromise. No compromise.
Well, what happens with free speech is that we need an educated population to discuss controversial issues. And if you're not educated, that's fine. Go find someone, go find some resource, figure out your position based on unbiased as you can get resources. Because what's happening right now is that people are educating themselves through their emotions, which is not a bad thing. You can have an emotional attachment to your opinions. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying you need to have your opinions also verified by evidence, by an education, by some sort of fact. Because at the end of the day,
excuse me for interrupting, but how can you dictate this when you have a president? I mean, it starts at the top.
Well, yeah, he wants to open up those libel laws. You know what he says? Yeah, he is against, well, what it seems to be is that he is against any news outlet, anything that represents him in a bad way. Mm-hmm, or what he thinks is a bad way, right? He doesn't want anything detrimental to his personal character. And I can understand that. Like, nobody wants to be the bad guy.
That's part of the job.
Yeah. And,
you know,
when he says, I want to open up those libel laws, well, libel laws are there for anything that is said falsely about you or written falsely about you that is detrimental to your reputation, right? And what he's talking about is things that are written about him that he has said that that have been verified by him and stuff like that. Like, free speech is so important in a conversation, in compromise, in seeing both sides of a political argument and seeing where we can fit together and where we can make meet in the middle, you know? Mm-hmm. But we got to make sure that when we are discussing these ideas, we can have them fueled by emotion, but we need to make sure that we have an education to back that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we can't just go in blind. We have to understand more about the topic being discussed. We can't, because at the end of the day, if you go in with only emotion, you're letting your prejudices rule your decision.
Are we becoming, American society, United States, are we becoming more restrictive?
And what?
What do you mean? Yeah.
As far as what can be said, as far as positions you can take in protest, are we becoming over controlling in our government?
I get what you're saying.
I think
because there's this whole idea of like for Trump or against Trump, like you're either one or the other. You can't
choosing
neutral.
A side, like there's a middle ground.
I think that's not what you're saying.
No, I understand.
I'm just saying, are we becoming more controlling? And restricted.
Like, you're not allowed to voice your opinion.
Right. I think that we are because, I mean, going back to what Aisha Ware was saying about having evidence to support what you're saying, like, personally, I think that people are not like, both sides, a lot of people from both sides are not educated and they do let their emotions get in the way of things. Mm-hmm. Like, me personally, like, I'm Catholic and I'm pro-choice because if you look at the statistics behind like abortion clinics, they actually help you and try and give you like tools so that you can keep that child. Mm-hmm. And people are like, no, abortion clinics are awful, awful things happen there. But is it really all awful? You're giving someone a choice to do what they want with their own body. And the truth is that more abortions happen underground than they would if you had those abortion clinics open. And it's just more dangerous for the mother as well. Like, it's just dangerous. And I just think that people are not educated and they are voicing their opinions, but they're not doing it like, I don't know how to explain this. They're not doing this in the right way.
Okay. Comments.
I just going back to the education, like you really can't think something unless you know the facts and you have the background to know what it is. Like, going back to the abortion thing, you may think abortion is so horrible, but you can't put yourself in someone else's shoes. You can't imagine, like, someone being raped and having to have that child because they don't have the ability to get an abortion. I get that. I mean, it's just, like, you can't put yourself in that situation. Mm-hmm. The same way a white person can't put themselves in a situation where a black person gets pulled over by five white cops and is shot. The same way they can't put themselves in the situation of a young child being taken away from their parents. They can't. They can't imagine it.
They can't.
They don't think it would happen to them.
Because it wouldn't.
It wouldn't.
So I guess in a way, also understanding, trying to understand. Because no matter how you try.
But that's like, the problem. That's like the whole hate speech. They can't understand. They won't.
They don't want to understand.
You don't have to completely understand. You just gotta try.
You have to try to understand. Because I mean, like, you're 100% right. Like, you can't understand what it is. Like, if I'm white, like, well, I am white. Like, I can't. I can never understand what it's like to be black. Like, I'll never be able to walk the shoe. Like, no matter how hard I try, no matter how much I try to put myself in that mental state of mind, and like, imagine the situation, like, I just can't do it, and I'll never know how someone feels. And so, like, I just can't, I don't know, it's really wrong for me to try to invalidate how you feel whenever, like, I could never begin to imagine it. Same goes for, like, any situation.
Also, going back to what you were saying about if people feel restricted to, like, say what they want to say, I really do think they feel restricted because I feel, as a whole, we've become really sensitive to certain topics. Like, we can't say
race.
Like, we can't really, like, if somebody, like, if my friend comes up to me and calls me, like, I know my friends call me Beaner, but like, it's like an endearment. Like, it's it's for me, like, I don't really find it offensive, but other people might. And like, I just, I don't know, like, with my friends, like, I know they, like, it's a joke, but like, I tell them, like, they just can't go around saying that to everybody. And like, I know, like, something will be said in class about, like, slavery or something. And I know, like, one of our teachers tries to, like, he teaches the way that it would have been, like, at that time. Like, he'll be like, oh, like, you guys get on the boat. Like, it's not, I personally don't think he's being, like, disrespectful because he does it to everybody. Like, he'll tell the white, like, women in the class, like, oh, you guys need to go in the kitchen and cook some potatoes. Like, he's trying to make it relatable to, like, how it would have been. But some people take such a great offense to that. And I think it helped my education so much because I didn't
able
like,
to appreciate
I didn't like being, like, said, like, hey, like, you go pick some tomatoes or something. And I was just like, yeah, that's how it was. Like, I know that this is why we needed this change. And I personally think he helped my education a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But some people found so great offense in that.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you address that? How do you solve it?
Lots of people don't know how to address it because they're just afraid to speak up for themselves.
The people who are the victims or the...
The people who are the victims most of the time because it's the people who are doing it to them who can speak.
Are silencing them, yeah.
Yeah, and I know me personally, I cannot stand it when people assume that I'm a Mexican or that I, like, my parents aren't educated and that kind of thing. And I'm like, I don't really care what you think, but, you know, in the long run, it's really not any of your business who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I kind of back down sometimes, and sometimes I decide to stand up and say something, but it's really a matter of, like, how the person does it to you. Because if someone's, like, coming at you, you're you don't know how to respond to that.
In this last minute, do you think that we are becoming more prejudiced?
Currently, but hopefully, we'll have a little awakening, and I think people will put someone into office that holds values that'll improve that.
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of people have said that we have come a long way since the beginning of our country, but we have such a long, like, we have even longer to go. Like, we can't reach that set of equality just yet, and I think that we just have a long way to go.
I honestly don't think we'll ever get to a point where we're completely equal and there's no racist or bigotry in the country, but I mean, we can get close to it.
I think we can get close.
I don't know if we've become more prejudiced. I know that the prejudice that existed previously has come out more. And I don't know if it has become more as in a sense of more of the population is prejudiced, but I think more of the population is okay with expressing that prejudice.
I'll have to have you all back. I just want to say thank you for your participation and sharing your opinions on this real controversial subject. To my listening audience, thank you for your time and your ear. And tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.